various scriptures. In 2013, there was a fascinating book by a guy named Steve Skina and Charles Ward that came out, and it was titled, Who's Bigger? Where Historical Figures Really Rank. The goal was to find the most significant person in human history. So using quantitative analysis to bear on rankings and comparing historical data by tracing millions of opinions, so just the way Google would rank web pages, they did it this way. They present rankings of more than 1,000 of history's most significant people in religion, science, politics, entertainment, and on and on. They set out, they wanted to rank who is the most significant person or the most significant people in history. So they used scientific method, all kinds of data, how many people they would influence or affect. And guess who number one was? In all of human history, guess who was number one? Jesus. Out of the estimated 107 billion people who have ever lived on the planet, Jesus was number one. Why is that? Because he's alive. So today, as we celebrate in a much bigger way than most Sundays we will gather together, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead because we do believe that Jesus is actually not dead. We believe that Jesus is alive. Jesus' rising from the dead has great implications for our lives. And today, I want to simply communicate clearly just what the resurrection means and how the resurrection affects us. So I'm going to try to be methodical today. Three things I want to tell you the resurrection accomplishes. Three things. Number one, the penalty of sin is gone. So that's Jesus taking care of our past. We also call that a big word. We would call that as justification. The penalty of sin is gone. Number two, the power of sin is gone. So right now in life today, how does the resurrection affect us? How does it affect what's called our sanctification? Is the power of sin is gone. And then lastly, the presence of sin will be gone someday. That's our glorification, our future. So the penalty of sin is gone, the power of sin is gone, and someday the presence of sin will be gone. So let's dive right in to how the resurrection affects us. So the penalty of sin is gone. What do I mean by penalty? I mean that all of us have created an offense against God, and there's a penalty for that. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Our sins were placed on Christ. He took our punishment on the cross, and He died. He literally died on the cross. Well, most of us would say, okay, I understand that has to do with the penalty of sin, but did Jesus have to rise again? Couldn't He just die on the cross and the penalty's taken away, but why did He have to rise again? What does the resurrection have to do with all of that? Does Jesus have to be alive? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. We're still in our sins if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead. So Jesus wasn't a sinner, you know that, right? Jesus wasn't a sinner, He lived a perfect life, He never sinned. He wasn't a sinner, He instead died for the sins of others. He's righteous in every way. So God the Father, being just and fair, raised Jesus up from the dead. Here's what the resurrection means. The resurrection is God the Father saying, I accept this sacrifice of Jesus as proper payment for sin. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was sufficient to pay for the sins of sinners. God the Father says, I validate this transaction, and I give it my stamp of approval by raising Jesus from the dead. So much as you would have a document in Hong Kong, you might have a document in Hong Kong, even though you've paid the debt, and you say, here's my piece of paper, and someone's going to say, well, where's the stamp? I don't see a stamp on there. Unless you have that stamp, it's really not validated. Well, in the same way, Jesus died on the cross, which was totally sufficient, but God validated it and said, this is something acceptable to me in payment by raising Jesus from the dead. Jesus has new life, and He is able to give new life to all of those who are united with Him in faith. Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, He will also give new life to us, and He will apply Jesus' rightness to us who believe. I've kind of demonstrated this before, but it's as if I have a backpack on loaded. I have a backpack loaded down with sin. It's my debt that I'm carrying around. I don't have any righteousness before God, but I give that over to Jesus. Jesus takes that from me. And yet Jesus has no sin, but He has a load of righteousness on His back, and He takes that load of righteousness and He shares that with me. It's a trade-off. Jesus gives His righteousness to us. We give our sin to Him. That's called justification. He makes us right before God. So God the Father deposits Jesus' righteousness over to us so that we now have something to bring to God. Romans chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. You see that? The power of Jesus that raised Him from the dead will also cause us to be born again and have new life. So if you're born again today and you have new life in Christ, it's because Jesus has risen from the dead and is able to give you new life. The penalty of sin is gone. It's taken away. No longer guilty before God, but instead you now have righteousness, the righteousness of Christ before God. So Jesus took that. But He can't give us new life, and He cannot give us eternal life if He's dead. But He is not dead. Praise the Lord. And the Father shouted out, I accept this sacrifice as payment at the resurrection. So the penalty of your sin and my sin is taken away by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. So that's number one. Number two, the power of sin is gone. You may say, well, I don't really feel that. I don't really feel like the power of sin is gone. I feel like it's pretty real in my life. that Christ did not just take away the penalty of sin, but he also took away the power of sin. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead gives you and I the power to live in holiness and to obey the Lord. Now, do we always experience that? No. But nonetheless, some of you might say today, well, yeah, there have been some things in my life that I have overcome since I came to Christ. There were some things that I used to love. There were some affections in my heart that I used to have, and I don't have those anymore. You know why? Because the power of the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has given you the power to live in holiness. So Christ's resurrection gives us power, power to live the new life that He's called us to. Would it be fair for Him to call us to live in newness of life and then not give us the power to live in that? Give us these commands and say, you know, walk in holiness, walk worthy of the calling you've received, and then say, but by the way, you're not able to do that. We can change by His power as He works in us by the Holy Spirit. So look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let this verse blow you away. Listen to Romans 8, 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 20. Ephesians 1, 18 and 20. Listen what it says. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You see the correlation there? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that He gives to us. We don't like to talk about that word power, but Christ gives us the power to walk in newness of life. The power of sin is taken away by Christ's resurrection. Did you know that you don't have to give in to sin? We choose to, but we don't have to. You see, what happens is we believe lies. We believe lies. I don't know about you, but I'm a professional sinner, so I know how this works. We believe lies, and what happens is we start to think, I'm never going to overcome this. Or I'm never going to be able, this is probably just something I'm going to deal with the rest of my life. We believe lies. It's not true. There are things that I don't love that I used to love. There are things that used to be very close to my heart that were wicked that are not there anymore. We can change by the power of the resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our sanctification. This is our sanctification. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in us and making us into His likeness. From one degree of glory to another, we are being changed. So we've been changed. We are being changed. He took away the penalty of sin, took away the power of sin, and someday we will be changed. The presence of sin will be gone. The presence of sin will be gone. This is our glorification. So our justification, we've been changed. our sanctification, we are being changed, and our glorification someday, we will totally be changed when this stuff, this flesh, this body, this indwelling sin will not be here anymore. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For as by a man came death, and by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and then in his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. He must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. You see, Christ, the first fruits, what does that mean? The first fruits. So you got a huge crop, like where I'm from, we have apples. You got a huge apple orchard, and a farmer is going to go, and he wants to know, are they ready? Are they ready? How do you know when they're ready? And he'll go, and he'll pick one off, the first fruits. He'll go, and he'll pick that off, and he'll take a bite of it and say, I think those are just about perfect. And so now, let's gather them all in. So just as Christ, the first fruits, have risen from the dead, so we will all be just like that in His likeness. 1 Corinthians 15, we will be changed. Listen to this. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It's a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass. Then shall come to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the penalty of sin has been taken away by Christ's death and resurrection. But the power of sin has been taken away also by His death and resurrection so that we can live and walk in newness of life. But also because of Christ's death and resurrection, someday we will experience the presence of sin will be taken away. I don't know if you feel like I do, but I'm really, really looking forward to the day when the presence of sin will be gone. When I will not want to sin anymore. I won't have those urges or the inclination to do that, where we will be able to be perfected, be glorified. We've been justified. We have been changed. We are being changed now. He is sanctifying us, meaning He's making us into His likeness, making us holy. And then someday we will be glorified. The presence of sin will be gone. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, Jesus said in John 11:25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Think about this statement. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That means you're never going to die. You're just going to be passing on. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I have no hope. And you have no hope today unless you believe that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture and that He rose again. He took away the penalty of sin and took away the power of sin, and someday He'll take away the presence of sin. We have no hope. That's my hope. And I expect, fully expect, any day to swing out into eternity on that hope. Question today is this: have you been united to Jesus Christ? Have you been united with Jesus Christ? Only those who are united to Jesus Christ, who believe in Him and believe that God raised Him from the dead, will be saved. So today, on Easter Sunday, this could be the day of salvation for you. That today you would say, I believe that Christ died for my sins. I believe that He took that debt of sin that I have, and I believe He rose from the dead. The Bible says you'll be saved. What about believers? The question for us is this: Are we living in resurrection power? Are we living in resurrection power? Now, I don't mean anything kooky by that. I don't mean anything like, you know, you can just tell the storms to go away and you got all this kind of miraculous power like God does. That's not what I mean. You know what I mean? I mean His divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through our knowledge of Christ. What I mean is this: we get stuck and we start thinking that we'll never get over stuff. But Jesus said, walk worthy of the calling which you've received. Walk worthy of the kingdom. There should not even be a hint of immorality among us. The resurrection of power of Jesus gives us the power to walk in newness of life. I may not be what I want to be yet, but I'm not what I used to be. We can change through the resurrection power of Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would cause us to see and to fully grasp just how wonderful it is that You have washed our sins away by the blood of Christ. That You have taken away the penalty of sin and we are free. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished, paid in full." Thank You, Father, that You rose Jesus from the dead, that His sacrifice was acceptable. You were screaming at the resurrection, "Jesus is righteous and perfect and holy, and He has paid it." And now He gives us new life, that all who unite to Him and believe in Him, that we can be born again. We can change. Thank You, God. Thank You that You have changed us. Thank You that today there's no power of sin or no power of of hell that can truly defeat us, even if we die. We'll just be made new. So Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Help us to see the glorious truth of the gospel and for it to be a treasure to us. We pray in Christ's name.